A very good morning to you all, and happy Pentecost Sunday. On behalf of the Newport on Tyne Church of Scotland, I wish to welcome all of you to this service of public worship, and also to welcome all those who are worshiping with us in the Zoom service that will be conducted by Bill. During this first part, we will worship together, and at a certain point, we shall separate, and the Zoom service will continue at their own end. We want to thank God sincerely as we come together this morning for his love, for his grace, for his compassion, and for his care, and especially for the fact that we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit on this Pentecost day, the Comforter, as Jesus Christ called it. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 118. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is good, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Our first hymn this morning, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty. God of all power and peace, You gloriously fulfilled the great promise of the gospel by sending down the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to establish your church as the house of your continuous presence among people. Mercifully give to us the same gift of the Spirit, we humbly pray you, and renew, enlighten, refresh, and sanctify us, be over us and around us evermore, until we share fully in your life. Almighty and most holy God, you know all things, your eyes see all children of men and women, and know the thoughts and intentions of their hearts. We are ashamed to lift up our eyes to your great glory. We have sinned against you through willfulness and unbelief. We have not sought light through your spirit of wisdom, but following our own desires have continually wandered from your ways. We have not sought strength through your spirit of power. Therefore, the good that we ought to have done, we have been unable to do, and the evil that we ought not to have done, we have done. We have grieved your Holy Spirit and are no more worthy to be called your children. You have sent your Spirit to convince us of our sins and to bring us to righteousness. Take away from us, O God, our sins which separate us from you, that with pure hearts and cleansed lips we may come before you and celebrate this service joyfully and praise your name through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who asks us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We want to say goodbye to those worshiping via Zoom, and again to wish you a very happy Pentecost Sunday. God bless you all.
Good morning. Our second hymn this morning is We Sing a Love That Sets All People Free.
Thank you. Our first reading this morning is selected verses from John chapters 15 and 16. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you, so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while, you will see me no more, and then after a little while, you will see me. And our second reading is from Acts chapter 2, and it's verses 1 to 18. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." Amen. And thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word. Our next hymn this morning is Spirit of God, Unseen as the Wind.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you fulfilled the promises of Easter by sending your Holy Spirit and opening the way of life eternal to every race and nation. Keep us in the unity of your Spirit, that every tongue may tell of your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Many years ago, as part of a course I was doing, I had to take a long division sum, let's say 13,496 divided by 49. I know the answer, so please don't send them in. My task was to identify how many different concepts and different processes were involved in finding the answer. If I remember correctly, I found 17. You wouldn't start teaching children how to count by introducing them to long division. We all started with Mum counting on our fingers and toes with little rhymes and songs and so on. It is a continuous, progressive progress process, building on what is learned and understood before going on to the next level. By its very nature, revelation, or the revealing of God's truth, is the same. It's an ongoing process, one which teaches, consolidates, and builds. All revelation must be geared to the ability and the readiness to understand. We approach things gradually and move on. Even with the disciples, they needed to learn and to experience more things about what they were doing in God's name before Jesus was able to move them on to the next stage. This idea of revelation has some important consequences for us. It does help explain some parts of the Old Testament, parts which can cause worry and distress. There is, for example, the command that when an enemy city is taken, every man, woman, and child must be slaughtered, the cattle destroyed, and the city flattened, to preserve all that was good and true. Anything which did not conform to their accepted vision of purity simply had to be done away with. When Jesus came, he revealed that the best way to preserve all that is good and true was to reach out in love and peace, to introduce people to that very God of love. What the people of the Old Testament had grasped was, in reality, only one part of that truth. Revelation has to be that way. It is about what we are able to understand, and then, in God's time, we will know what God wants us to do in God's time. It has to be said very clearly that there is no end to God's revelation. One of the saddest mistakes, surely, is to identify God's revelation solely and completely with the books of the Old and New Testament. The last book of the Bible was written in about 120 AD. Is it possible that since that time, God has been silent? Has there been no revelation from God for 1900 years? God's Spirit is always active. God's greatest revelation, indeed, came in the person of Jesus Christ. In him and through him, God came in the person of him, and God is still leading us on still. We cannot stop learning about our faith. We cannot stop growing in our faith. We cannot stop using our faith. God is still revealing his truth in the here and now. Sometimes that journey may be painful. It may be full of places we do not wish to visit, but God is calling us to find out how best to follow Jesus in the 21st century. God is holding the truth for us. We have to find it, to understand it, and to use it to guide us in our lives. Now, don't believe for one moment that God reveals himself only to some learned theologian in the ivory towers of academia. We cannot think that God's truth is somehow separate from the world, or that it is limited to what happens in church. It is far, far greater than that. The Holy Spirit is in action in anything which brings hope to the world. The Holy Spirit is at work in poetry, in music, in art. The Holy Spirit is anywhere where there is inspiration which defies the boundaries of time and place. The Holy Spirit appeals directly to the heart. Truth belongs to God, and we receive it directly from him. We cannot discover truth on our own. It is God's gift to us. He sends us this truth through the work of the Holy Spirit. Truth is not something that we can invent or create. It is already there, waiting to be discovered, waiting for God to reveal it to us. At the back of all truth is God. What then is revelation? How do we sum it all up on this day of Pentecost? Revelation is the taking of the things of Jesus and the revealing of their significance to us and for us. Jesus is alive today. He gives us guidance to follow. He lived his life as an example to us all. No one has ever fully understood everything that Jesus said. No one has ever fully worked out all the significance of his teaching. No one fully knows what Jesus means for any individual, or indeed for the society in which we live. God will allow that to happen in his own time. Revelation is an ongoing process in which we open out the meaning and the significance of Jesus Christ. Now, one of the most exciting things is that revelation comes up to us directly from a living person. It comes to us from Jesus. The nearer we live to Jesus, the better we shall get to know him. The more we become like him, the more he will be able to tell us. Truth will be revealed to all who approach, regardless of wealth and possessions, of learning and position, of background and popularity. To enjoy his revelation, we must accept that he is Lord and King. Obedience to Christ and knowledge to Christ go hand in hand. The Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Amen. And may God grant us grace, patience, peace, and understanding. Our next hymn is, Lord, you sometimes speak in wonders.
Let us come together with our prayers of intercession, our prayers for others. Let us pray. On the day when we celebrate the Church's founding, let us pray for her work across Christ's world, in places whose stories we know and in places we can only leave to the knowledge of the heart of God. And especially remember those places where those who confess Jesus as their Saviour are still persecuted for his sake. May they know the emboldening power of the Spirit of Pentecost and the loving assurance of the Comforter. We pray for the Church in our land of Scotland, for the Church of Scotland, and all denominations that share her mission in cities, towns, villages, and countryside and islands. Especially today, we pray for those meeting in General Assembly. May they be guided by the Spirit and discern God's will for the Church's future and her witness. We pray for those experiencing illness in body or in mind, and for those who practice the healing arts of medicine and nursing. We remember families and communities emerging from this pandemic, still feeling the pain of loss of loved ones. May they experience God's love and comfort through our actions and our words. And as we pray for those who are feeling despair through the loss of employment or opportunity, we also pray that despite our feebleness, we, with the assurance of the Spirit, may bring hope through the practical resolve of a Church ready to play its part in the work of healing and renewal. Let us pray that in this land and in the world, the Spirit will inspire and raise up women and men, young and old, to dream dreams and share a vision of a world where oppression is defeated by justice, where anxiety is vanquished by hope, where creation is cherished and the earth's resources are harvested responsibly for a just sharing, where people everywhere will not be judged by the colour of their skin or their gender or their creed or their orientation, but by the content of their character, where hate is overcome by love and where the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On this day of Pentecost, we delight in the holy, sprightly Spirit of God dancing among us, filling the world with joyful possibility, revealing the music of the Creator. We rejoice at the Spirit's daring spontaneity and find ourselves caught off guard by the unexpected communications. In a world that can seem predictable, the Spirit sparks into being new possibilities, inspiring us to forgive ourselves for past mistakes, freeing us from our bondage to past wrong. In a world that can seem drab, the Spirit weaves ever-changing patterns in the fabric of our being. In a world that can be hostile, the Spirit's mediating love builds a path from loneliness to conviviality, from antagonism to cooperation. Thankfully, we see an example of this just now in the Holy Land, where a ceasefire has been reached. In a world that appears purposeless, the Spirit's vitality shouts out a mighty yes to life and declares the source of all living to be in the one in whom we all live, move, and have our being. All this we ask through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I mentioned in the sermon that Revelation was a progressive and ongoing cycle. And our last hymn is a great example of that. The tune was written by Handel for an oratorio. He recycled it himself several times, and so has everybody from Beethoven to Bonnie M. So final hymn is Thine Be the Glory.
Thank you.
our service here has ended and we turn for our screens and go to face the world that God has given us. As we do so, please take every opportunity to share the life of Christ and to show his love. And may the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with us and all those whom we love, now and always.